Legal Matters.
Trudy Brookman is my guest, consumer legal expert. Trudy, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you very much for allowing me to do some housekeeping here on the Aubrey Masango Show. Are you well?
Good evening, Aubrey. I'm so well. I hope you too.
So, you remember that call? I think it was Dennis. Eh? Was it Dennis? I think it was Dennis, the caller that called in. I think almost the last caller on that particular show, Trudy, where he asked a very important question. We had been reporting that there is 44 billion rand that is stored by various pension funds for people who haven't yet collected those pensions. And he suggested, and I suppose the context was the conversation around prescription, that these pension funds are suggesting that people who are owed their pension monies may be subjected to the very prescription laws we were talking about. You said you'd go and check this out for us. What have you found?
Yeah. As I recall, his name was Darius or Darius, but I might have gotten that
Darius.
Wrong.
Darius, yeah, that's right.
Your memory is probably better than mine. So the principle with prescription is that contractual or delictual rights prescribe within a period of 3 years. There are certain things that cannot prescribe. For example, if you have a claim in terms of breach of contract, that doesn't prescribe, and various other things. So the retirement fund issue falls within one of those categories. So in terms of your retirement fund, yes, you have a sort of a contract. I suppose it's a quasi-contract, but my understanding is that that cannot lapse. You have a claim against your retirement fund until you die. And then that claim, obviously, it depends on the nature of the retirement fund. That might go to your spouse, and that might be the end. And then when that person dies, that's the end of your possibility to claim. But until you yourself have passed, your right to claim from your retirement fund, even if, yeah, the thing is, you also with a claim, you need to have known about your claim, right?
Yeah.
As the creditor, so if you were unaware of the fact that you had a claim against the retirement fund, that obviously can't lapse. So, Darius, your answer is go back to your to that retirement fund. I think that wasn't, he was asking more in principle.
Yes.
But in principle, answer is, whoever has a benefit under that retirement fund can go back and say, in terms of the legal advice that we received, we have a claim, even though, more than 3 years may have passed. Here I am. Here's my ID. I have an entitlement in terms of this retirement fund.
011-883-0702. Trudy Brookman is my guest. We're going to be talking in general about the issue of prescribed debt. And so whatever questions you may have, please give us a call on 011-883-0702. If you're in Cape Town, you can give us a call on 021-446-0567. So you're saying to me that only if the principal is still alive does the matter remain alive, okay? But should the
principal... In the context of the retirement fund.
Sure,
the
sure,
fund,
sure.
Yes.
But what about his beneficiaries, his children? I'm sure that person would want to, would have wanted, had they known, had they... Because many people probably just don't know that they've got this money. Had they known that they've got this money, they would probably have wanted that money to go to their children. What about their children? Do their children not have the right to claim that money?
We would have to look at the rules of the particular fund, but generally, no. That has to be either the partner or the spouse of the person who worked and earned all of that money. It's not something that can be inherited by kids.
Really? So your children cannot inherit your pension?
So how it works is that for, let's say, you're working for 40, 50 years, a portion of your earnings goes into your pension. The employer often adds a further amount. That money is placed in investments, and the intention is that it would grow. Then you hit 60 or 65, whichever the age is of the, in terms of the rules of your pension fund, and then you have a right to a monthly amount which is supposed to compensate you for the fact that you no longer have a salary, but you still have expenses in your life, right?
Yes.
So it's a bit less than your salary amount. Then with most of these pension funds or retirement funds, you have an arrangement that your spouse would continue to receive the money after you have passed. But for the time that you're alive, your spouse doesn't get anything, your kids don't get anything. The money comes to you because it's the money that you put away for your retirement. Then when your spouse dies, assuming that he or she dies after you, then that entitlement against the retirement fund ends. It comes to a complete end. Yeah, if you wanted to, your kids to benefit, you had to put away that money that you get from your from your pension while you are still alive and getting your pension. Squirrel that away into a bank account, and when you pass, that bank account goes to your beneficiaries,
yes,
which would normally be your children.
So we open up the lines now. You can phone in, ask whatever questions that you have for around debt, but more specifically around the issue of prescribed debt. Maybe you've been getting calls from debt collectors. What do they call them? Special purpose vehicles. You know, those people that buy a debt. Trudy was telling us about that last week, that the people can buy your debt from the creditor, from the principal creditor, right? Because it might be a matter of cost that they may feel that they'd rather sell off that debt to somebody else that's got the energy and the resources to go after that debt, because it just doesn't make sense for them financially to go after that debt. It's those people that start phoning you for debt that may have prescribed. Have you been getting those calls? What should people do in that case, Trudy? Should they take the call or should they ignore the call?
My advice, well, let me start by giving a moral response.
Yes.
My advice to you is that you should pay your debt if you can.
Yes.
It's good for your conscience. It's good for your credit record. It's good for your reputation. It's good for your stress levels. So if you can, pay your debt and do it on time. And if you're a little bit behind, catch it up. However, there are circumstances where you have legal rights in terms of prescription, and I'm going to give you the best advice I can on that as well. So if you're contesting that debt, you don't think that that debt is due, you don't think that it was ever due, you think it's an unfair debt or something like that, then I would say don't get the call. Block the number on your phone. You know, don't engage with that creditor or that debt collector or that, you know, that person who has, as Aubrey says, taken over the your creditor's debtor's book and is now hounding you for payment. That is risky advice, and you should only take that advice under certain circumstances. Number one, if you're absolutely certain that you don't owe the debt, because you can get into huge trouble if you just ignore debt. Because eventually not taking calls is one thing, but ignoring letters of demand is going to lead to you eventually getting a summons. And prescription is the exact reason that you get sued, because think of this from the data, from the creditor's perspective. In other words, the person that you owe money to, or maybe you are a creditor if you're listening to the program, you need to, when the person stops paying you, or the law, within 3 years, you need to sue that person. In other words, have a summons delivered to them by the sheriff. Otherwise, you lose your debt. It prescribes, and that means it dies. It isn't collectible anymore, even if you sue, but you sue after the three-year period. Sorry, it won't work because that debt is now dead. It's prescribed. There's no way to resurrect it unless you can trick a guy, trick the debtor into paying, even though the 3-year period has elapsed. And that's why I'm saying don't take the call, because I don't want you to be on the phone and they say, what's been happening to me actually is I used to have a telecom account and it's more than 3 years ago. I know that I paid my last account, but now I'm getting SMSs to say, oh, no, I don't know the amount. With every SMS, the amount seems to sort of double. So I'm very skeptical about it. And I have just ignored those SMSs because I can see it's coming from a debt collector. I know I paid my telecom account, and I also know it's more than 3 years later. Yeah. So they are trying to collect prescribed debt, and that is illegal. I don't owe them a moment of my time. It's illegal to sell prescribed debt. It's illegal to buy it, and it's illegal to try and collect it as well as being unethical. I should be shouting at those guys on the phone, but I don't want to waste my own time.
So what you're doing is you effectively daring them. You're saying, all right, take me to court then.
Yes.
Let's take some calls. Leanne is in Edenvale. Good evening, Leanne.
Hello, Aubrey.
Yeah, good evening to you, Leanne. Sure, go ahead.
I was just listening now, and I'm wondering if maybe my question has been answered.
Ask it again.
I had a so-called friend that was in dire straits at one stage, and I lent him money, but he wrote me a contract promising to pay the amount off over a certain rate, over a certain period, et cetera, never paid me one cent. From there on, I tried to contact him. First of all, he told me he wasn't working. Anyway, over the years, I've seen that, you know, because you can see things on the internet nowadays that he works for some fancy hotel in Sandton and everything. But in the meantime, I did try to follow it up with a debt collector, paid a whole lot of money, and then they said to me, no, they can't find him or that he's not answering. And then I went to an attorney, paid some more money, and they told me, no, that it's prescribed after 3 years.
Yeah.
Is that correct then?
Trudy?
Leanne, it's correct. I'm so sorry. Well, let's work this out scientifically. When did you lend the money to this guy?
Okay, now it's many years on. But when I was listening to you this morning, earlier on, that's why I said to the lady, well, the person that answered the phone, were you just talking about pension debt that doesn't prescribe?
No, we were talking about everything. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Generally, so any contractual or delictual debt, and yours is in terms of a contract, and even if that contract hadn't been written down and signed, it's still a loan of money is a contract. So that means that 3 years from the date on which the debt became due, the debt would have prescribed if he wasn't paying it off. If he was paying it off, it would be 3 years from the last date when he paid or when he last admitted that he owed you money. So I assume that you haven't had an admission from him to say, yes, Leanne, sorry, I know I owe you. I will pay you one day, since the time that he signed that contract. Or am I wrong?
Well, strangely enough, he did contact me via email one day and told me to contact his attorneys. That was probably more than 3 years ago.
That's a very important thing, Leanne. Did he in any way in that conversation on email admit to the fact that he owes you money?
Yes.
Well, Trudy.
He said to me that I should contact his attorney.
No. But did he make reference? You see, this is a very, very important thing. Did he make direct reference to, Leanne, I know I owe you money and I haven't been paying you. For that reason, please contact my attorney. Did he say something to that effect?
Well, I'd have to look for the emails to see exactly what the wording was. But that.
Trudy?
Because
either saying it directly, in other words, Leanne, I know I owe you, or saying it indirectly. So even if he said something about, for example, Leanne, regarding your debt or regarding my debt
to you,
then that is also an admission. But it would have to be a bit more than Leanne, contact my attorneys. So as long as it's him admitting that he owes you money, whether directly or in an implied fashion, it can even be by his actions, so it can be tacit, then that is the date from which one calculates the 3 years. But you said that you think that that's even longer than 3 years. It's worthwhile going to find that email and just checking. Was it an admission of debt? Did he admit that he owes you the debt, number one? And number two, if it was less than 3 years ago, immediately forward that email to your attorney and say to him, I've already paid you lots of money now. Get on to the job. It looks as though the prescription has been interrupted.
The reason I jumped on that, Trudy, is because I remember in our last conversation, you said that sometimes a debt is prescribed because it's been inactive for those 3 years. But then you can make the fatal mistake of within the 3 years, let's say on year two and 11 months and 28 days, you then write a letter like that to your creditor to say, I am aware that I owe you money. You start the process again, right?
That's right. Then the three-year period runs again from the date of admission. Even if you pay a cent toward the debt, you buy the person lunch and say, please, will you set it off against the debt I owe you? That's a payment of the debt, even though it's a little bit indirect.
Yeah.
Then the three-year period starts to run again from that payment. And you have another 3 years to quickly get your summons against this debtor of yours.
So I hope Leanne just checks whether or not that email came to her within the three-year period, because that would give her some sort of recourse, as you've said. Let's talk to Stephen in Centurion. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question relates to pension and provident funds. So I left one employer to another one, and I wanted to know what the options is of moving the money out of the pension or provident fund of that specific employer. So I decided to move it to a preservation fund, but unfortunately last minute I changed my mind and decided to keep the money in the provident fund or pension fund from that company. So subsequently I moved on. And subsequently, I've contacted the Pension and Provident Fund and asked them whether I can actually now move the money to a preservation fund. I've never withdrawn from the money, but I would like to move it to a preservation fund. And the answer was no. You don't have that option because you've elected to keep it there. So my question is that true? What does the law say? And can I actually contact the Ombudsman to make a final ruling on that?
Trudy?
We are outside of my field of expertise. I don't know the answer to that question. Stephen, you need a pension or retirement fund attorney to advise you on that one. I suspect that the answer lies in the relevant legislation, but it's just really not my field. I don't know the answer. I know from my own experience, I have been at two different jobs, and with one I kept it in the same pension and provident fund, and with the other one I moved it into a preservation fund. So I know it's possible, you know, just when you leave the firm, but I suspect that it once again depends on the rules of the particular fund, and I haven't seen those, and I'm sorry that I can't advise you. What I do suggest is that you just look up my website and find my email address. I can give it to you quickly as well. Trudy, Trudie, at Brookman. My surname is spelled like the Afrikaans, Brook, Brook, and then mamn.co.za. Drop me a mail. I'm going to be back in office only on Monday, and I'll find you a pension funds expert to whom you can address your query. I'm so sorry that I can't give a definitive answer on air.
Yeah. And I think what we'll do is perhaps have an hour with such an expert, Trudy, for questions such as that of Stephen.
Wonderful.
Let's speak to Harry in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, Aubrey. Thanks for taking my
call. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is just, TV license, does it prescribe?
Trudy? it's government, isn't it?
Interesting one.
Yeah.
Because we have to figure out, is this a contractual obligation or is this a debt owed to government? Because the periods are different. So I spoke about the prescription period for contractual or delictual debt being 3 years. There's a longer period for any debts that you owe to the state, namely 15 years. And if it's for tax that you haven't paid, there's a 30-year prescription period. I think we discussed it last week. Aubrey and said government set these nice long periods so that they're not under pressure because they could. they wrote the law and it's to their own benefit. So I suspect that a TV license is a debt to the state that only prescribes after 15 years. So, it's an unusual situation, isn't it? So, you're going to have to remain under the radar for 15 years or otherwise just pay up, Harry.
Harry, look, I've got a feeling you're not alone, my man. I've got a big feeling that you're not alone. 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, if it is the amount of time you have to wait before a debt is prescribable for a government debt, we need to find out whether a TV license is in fact a government debt. Is it, Trudy?
I think so. So if SABC issues you with a license. The license is in terms of legislation. It's not in terms of a contract that you have, that you enter into with SABC. So they've got legislation, a law backing them up to say we all have to pay a license if we have a TV. And now there's talk of if you have a smartphone, suddenly you have to pay. I don't know what's happened to that rumor. But because of it being a debt due to the state, in terms of this legislation that governs, I think it's the ICASA Act, but I'm speaking under correction, that governs the SABC's licenses. Therefore, unfortunately, I mean, the same principle would apply for your car license and things like that that are debts to the state. 15 years. Now, it's 15 years that the state can take to sue you for that amount. It may be that, you know, your TV license isn't a big enough amount for SABC to ever get around to suing you. As I said, you need
but then they too sell off those debts because there are companies, and I know of these companies that buy that debt and then they go after people. Because they've got the appetite to do so, Trudy. So, I think
and
as you say,
and they put phenomenal pressure on you. But the truth is, you only actually need to pay up if you object to the state. In the context of prescription, remember what I said. It's good to pay your debts because it's great for your conscience and your credit record and all of those things. If you manage to stay under the radar, you dodge the debt collector's phone calls and emails, you don't respond, you don't admit that you owe it, and if you don't get a summons within the 15 years, then the debt will disappear. But remember, for as long as you have a TV, that TV license fee, is it a yearly thing? Every year when your license fee should be paid, then the 15 years runs for that year. But if you continue to have a television, I mean, you're always going to have a new debt occurring every year when the license fee is due.
I'm getting the feeling that the discussion around television is seeking me out. I really am getting that feeling. Because, I mean, since yesterday we had a very unfortunate conversation. You probably heard my apology, Trudy, just before we started the conversation. But the TV conversation is coming after me. So, and then, of course, there's the whole discussion around The migration from terrestrial to spectrum and all of those kinds of things that are a big discussion at the moment. So we're going to have to understand the principles behind the fact that we have to pay a license. Some people have said that you don't pay for the content. You pay for the ability to have the content. When people argue to say, listen, I don't even look at SABC television. The argument usually is that, no, you're not paying for the content that the SABC is giving you, but you're paying rather for the infrastructure that gives you the ability to consume content if you so deem it. Somebody asked the question, Khashev on Twitter says, so what's stopping us from getting loans or the like and just disappear for 3 years? Trini?
What is stopping us is that your creditor will sue you. And why will your creditor sue you? Because he knows, or it knows very well, that if you are not sued and the summons is served on you within the 3 years, that the debt can't be recovered from you. So, for most types of loans, there is additional security set in place by the creditor, and one can perfectly understand why, because there are people like us who want to, the three of us discussing this thing of disappearing and staying under the radar. The temptation is there. So if you buy a vehicle which is financed, then WesBank will own that vehicle and it will be registered in WesBank's name, and WesBank will be entitled to come and recover the vehicle if you default on your payment.
Yeah.
So it's no good, disappearing, leaving the country.
Then
you won't have a car.
Yeah, and a lot of that has been happening, hey Trudy. I've been seeing people get their cars repossessed left, right and center. It is really, really tragic what's happening out there.
Yes.
But I think you started off by saying that, guys, we're not here to come and encourage people not to pay their debts. Neither are we here to give you ways and means for evading your debt. You have a contractual obligation to your creditor if you have asked for a loan and you were given one. So we don't want to be part of the kind of conversation that suggests that we are giving you ways and means to avoid paying your debts. Please, we don't want to be part of that nonsense. Pay your debts.
Absolutely.
But be aware. Trudy, go ahead.
There's a morality on the other side as well, Aubrey, because if you leave debt hanging like a sword over a person's head, and that family is affected and it continues year in and year out until the person dies, or maybe even after that, then that debt is being allowed to play a disproportional role in a person's life.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a type of slavery. And that is what we don't want in our country. And that's why the morality of the state and the morality of our laws also says, no, there must be a cut-off point at some stage where we release a person from debt.
Yeah.
In the old days, if you didn't pay your debt, you could be arrested and thrown in jail. That is now unconstitutional, and it doesn't happen anymore. I mean, you've noticed that, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't see people getting arrested and then spending the weekend in jail. That used to always happen with maintenance matters, and I know that there was recently a matter in the press where there was a maintenance dodger who was in fact arrested again, and it was unusual because we don't arrest people for debt. We do arrest them for contempt of court from time to time, so that is one of the other things that you need to take into account.
Yeah.
If your creditor has sued you, you can't just ignore it. That's the stage when you need to make a plan, you need to enter into an arrangement, and you must meet your obligations, and you must engage with a creditor. The moment you get that summons, you need to pick up the phone and say, okay, this is what I can afford, give me a week to just see whether I can borrow from someone else to pay you. Then you need to make a plan.
Yeah.
and make sure that you don't, you know, land up like a stodger who
I think it's for his failures. It's very, very important that we put it out there that we're not in the business of encouraging people not to pay their debts. This is to really make us aware of laws around prescription. But please, we cannot be responsible for people who want to evade debt that they know they have. Please pay your debts. You know, I mean, I think that's the message from us. This person says, what recourse do I have as a creditor after a car hiring company that owes me money evaded all efforts by the sheriff of the court to recover my debt till the sheriff just gave up? Does such a debt of 5,000 rand legally prescribe, says Ask Farai.
Oh, I need a bit more information. It sounds as though if the caller is speaking about the sheriff being involved, it sounds as though the person has already issued a summons, gone through the process of getting a judgment, a court judgment, and then sent the sheriff around to this car hire place to try and attach the property of the car hire company in order to satisfy the judgment debt. In other words, what happens then is if you have gone through the process of getting a judgment, then you send the sheriff to the premises of your debtor. They go and demand the money. If the money isn't paid within 7 days, the sheriff goes back and then takes property or attaches property that belongs to the debtor, and that will then eventually be sold on auction that the sheriff arranges, and the proceeds from that auction, the money that's paid for those attached goods, comes to you as the creditor in payment of your judgment debt. So if I've got that right, then you need to go and have a heart-to-heart with a sheriff to give them more detailed information about exactly where to find the assets that belong to this company. Surely they must have assets. A rental place owns a lot of vehicles that can be attached very easily by a sheriff who knows where and when to go. And if necessary, you can get a tracing agent to find out exactly where their premises are, to just confirm that there are assets there, and then send that report to the sheriff. If I'm wrong about this and that you haven't taken a judgment yet, and that the issue is that the sheriff can't find them to serve the summons on them, then you need to respond quickly, because within the 3 years, you have to have that summons served by the sheriff on the debtor.
Yeah.
Once again, I recommend look online, find a tracing agent, get a tracing agent to urgently. It's normally a fairly cheap process, maybe 350 rand for the tracing agent, and they have ways and means of tracing people, finding them. You send that tracing agent's report to the sheriff, and you ensure that urgently they get that summons.
Trudy, so many questions still coming through. Amos has got a question around bonds. Can they get prescribed? And I can't take his call because we've run out of time. Do you quickly want to give me 20 seconds of an answer for Amos's call? Can bonds?
They can prescribe, but it takes 30 years from your last payment or the time that the payment became due. It's a long period, 30 years.
Trudy Brookman, thank you so much. How do people follow you?
Look at my website, www.brookmanmann.co.za. All my details are on there.
Thank you so much. Amos, I'm so sorry I couldn't take your call. Trudy, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.